But let's do this with the undercover covers because, man, again, I'm so old school minded in my musical tastes that I'm trying to get a little better. But if I'm in the car, if I'm not listening to the radio station, I have my phone plugged in and I'm just listening to my playlist. And it's a lot of, you know, 80s, 90s hip hop, R&B. You know, you throw a curveball every now and then, but that's just about it. So while I was, and we're going to start here with my number one, Tyler. While I was in the car, this song will come up every now and then. This is Fat Pat. This is 25 Lighters. And he has another song, Tops Drop, that I love. And Fat Pat's from Houston. And I don't even know if he, I don't know any other hits from Fat Pat but those two. But they are in my rotation heavy, and I love them. I love Fat Pat, dude. And I love this tune. And now, I don't know how I got turned on to this. I don't know who did it. I don't know how I found it. But ZZ Top does a cover of 25 Lighters, and it's called I Gots to Get Paid. And this is fantastic.
25 lighters on my dresser, yes, sir. You know I got to get paid.
That guitar right there.
25 lighters on my dresser, yes, sir. You know I got to get paid.
I wanted to get to the verse.
I got 25 lighters on my 25 folks.
Dude, this song is so hard. Okay, so this is in my playlist, in my rotation, and when this comes on, man, it is, let's turn it up, let's put the windows down, and let's rock ZZ Top, something I never thought I'd do.
Maybe it is the H-Town connection, right? Because ZZ Top's Houston as well.
Sure.
So maybe that somehow, some way, some producer, somebody, right, from, hey, check this out.
Yeah, or maybe this is the Bone Brother coming out in Donovan.
Dude.
Getting indoctrinated with
maybe
classic rock and roll.
Those were three and a half fun years I had, man. They were great. But I love Fat Pat's 25 Lighters, but this is a strong, strong cover of it. So, all right. So one time I was in Houston for this cover. Now, we all know the Doggy Style Snoop Dogg album, which is incredible. One of, a lot of people will say it's top five. And one of the songs on there, it's my wife calls it her ratchet song that she probably, there's no way she should like, but she does. And it's Ain't No Fun. And this is Snoop Dogg and Nate Dogg, who, if Nate Dogg is on any track, count me in. I love that dude and his monotone. Hey! Takes me back, man. This is Domino's. Oh. Talking
noise, take you back?
Drinking, doing all that stuff. It's great. So now I was in Vegas. We were at a bar somewhere. I can't remember. Me and my wife, my cousins. And then all of a sudden I hear the song on the speaker. It's pretty loud in there. And I'm thinking, what is this? So I tried to get to a speaker to Shazam it. And this song is called Number One, and it's by a group called Tuxedo. Check this out.
When I met you last night, baby, you looked oh so lovely. I wondered if I got to know you, if you might be the one for me. Next time you're feeling kinda lonely, just pick up the phone and give me a call. And you can be my special lady. And I promise, baby, we can have it all. Cause I've never met a girl.
So now this is firmly in my rotation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's got 80s, 90s.
Dude,
all
this song
over
is so good. And at first I thought, Snoop's was the cover of this one.
Right.
And then
right.
I realized that that was afterwards. I was like, okay, like, it's great. I love it. So I'll do one more and then I'll throw it to you, Joe.
Sure.
Because, you know, grew up with the Jackson 5, and I think I've played this on the station before, but I think it's so good that I wanted to run it back. And Jackson 5, you know, soundtrack, parents played it all the time growing up with Jackson 5, and one of the songs, one of their better tunes was I Want You Back. So hit me, Tyler.
It still plays, man.
Dude.
It still plays.
100 years from now, it's
right?
going to play.
No doubt.
That's
for
the
sure.
test.
That is.
That's the test.
You know, Mike and his biggest hits, and his voice was getting, seemed like worse and worse the whole time. This is absolute perfection from a kid who maybe had one of the most perfect voices ever.
Pure.
Ever. So we were in training camp in Oxnard at the place, what's the name of that damn place? It's right by the hotel that we stay at, where you
the
walk
habit?
Down. No,
Oxnard,
Spencer McKenzie's.
No. It's a bar. I'll think of it. But we were there one night training camp, and I heard Lake Street Dive, and I Shazammed, of course, because I heard this, Tyler, and it started playing, and I was like, this is insane. Never heard of the group before.
This redhead can sing.
Didn't know anything about him.
When I had you to myself,
this is the first time I'm hearing it.
I didn't want you around.
Okay.
Those pretty faces always made you stand out in the crowd. But someone picked you from the bunch. One glance was all it took. Now it's a much too late for me to take a second look. Oh, oh, baby, give me one.
Dude, more. I was like, I don't know who that is, but she can sing her ass off.
They do their own stuff, but if you go to YouTube, there's a bunch of songs they cover.
Really?
They're
okay.
All really cool.
That is fantastic.
Incredible. And I didn't think anyone covering that song, you would say that is incredible, and it really is. Her voice is fantastic.
And that bass and that horn take me right back to New Orleans.
Exactly.
Man. Oh my goodness.
It's just, it's jazzy, it's
yes.
funky, and it's great. So that's what I wanted to present. I like some of those songs you didn't think would be covered to where you like it so much. But,
well,
that's where I am, Joe.
I'm glad you came up with this idea, right? Because it took me down a fantastically fun rabbit hole the past couple of days. Just even finding songs that I didn't even realize were covers. Georgia by Ray Charles. It's a cover.
Mm-hmm.
You knew some of them. Proud Mary by Tina Turner.
Right.
That was CCR.
Right.
That was Creedence Clearwater. I'm not a big Dylan fan. So I didn't realize All Along the Watchtower was a cover. Respect is a cover.
Absolutely.
Of an Otis Redding song.
Yep.
And then even some 80s fun songs. Girls Just Want to Have Fun. Cyndi Lauper. That was a cover. And, Tainted Love. Everybody knows Tainted Love from the 80s if you're of a certain age.
By Soft Cell.
Yeah, by Soft Cell. That was a cover originally released on Motown by an artist named Gloria Jones. So that was the fun part for me, just
sure.
going through down the rabbit hole. I found, I'm not going to play it, but you should. Ray Charles covers Yesterday by the Beatles, and it's just, it's fantastic. I've heard a lot of
That's
Ray
covers.
That's
the most covered song of all time. Yesterday.
Yes.
Donny Hathaway does a version that will knock your socks off, and it's only a live version. It is fantastic. He is so soulful and so good, and that's great. So,
and then everybody knows Sinead O'Connor, Nothing Compares to You, especially if you're an 80s kid. We all know that, right?
Yeah.
And we knew that Prince, right, sung it first and actually introduced it to Sinead. What I did not know that it was a cover for Prince. It existed before then. But when I went down this rabbit hole, I found my man Chris Stapleton. And I'm not big in the country, man, but this guy's got something that is so soulful, it is undeniable. And he covered Nothing Compares to You. Stripped it down, made it bluesy.
It's been 7 hours and 15.
Okay, sold. Sold. That's all I need to hear. That's all.
Won't you tell your love?
I mean, come on, man. Are you kidding?
Go out every night and sleep all day. Can't you tug your love away? Since you've been gone, I can do whatever I want and see whoever I choose.
Okay, that is solid.
And it brings out everything about that cat that I like. Because, listen, Sinead's was haunting and foreboding and dark. And, man, and this is just straight up blues, man.
And the differences between all three is just so evident. Like,
yes.
Prince, I like Prince's version better than Sinead.
Yes.
But I'm just a huge Prince fan. I'm not saying anything badly about Sinead, but this one.
It hits, man.
That hits hard.
It's undeniable.
That's strong.
It's undeniable. So I found that one. I loved it.
Sean?
I found this one a few years ago. This is Charles Bradley. He was under Daptone Records in the 50s, soul singer, and he put out an album pretty soon before he died. And this is a cover of a Black Sabbath song. This is Changes, which I'm sure you've heard on the bone quite a bit, but... he takes it to a whole new level.
I feel unhappy. I feel so sad. I have lost the best friend that I ever had. She was my woman. I love her so.
Wanted to record this because he heard it and it reminded him of losing his mother years prior, and he held on to that, and this song spoke to him, and this is better than the Black Sabbath version.
And the only time I've heard that song, and we probably played it when I was at the Bone, I really don't remember. Eminem has a song called Changes, and he has the Black Sabbath sample in the background. Don't know what I'm gonna do, but I just keep on going through changes. But that's the only reason. That's great.
We found like 100 other good examples, but this is the band you forgot about, Donovan, a couple weeks ago, the Foo Fighters. Maybe the biggest rock and roll band on earth, but.
What did I call? I can't remember what band I
don't
said.
Know.
Well, you guys were so frustrated.
Struggling Red Hot Chili Peppers. That's it, yeah. We're just kind of close.
But they're to the point now where they're so renowned, they're just doing whatever the hell they want. And of course, they lost their drummer Taylor last year. But before he passed, they decided to do a bunch of Bee Gees songs. And I found this one. Heck, this might have gone viral, but I think this is better than what the Bee Gees did back in the day. You should be dancing. Put out a bunch of Bee Gees songs under the group named the Dee Gees.
Okay.
And it's,
nice.
They're all great.
Yeah, no, it's...
You add that rock vibe to it, it's good.
Dave Grohl's a bad boy. He there's a great story that he tells about being at a party, and he saw some guys who were from the Gap Band, and he went over and said, hey, man, I just want to thank you, because I've been stealing drum beats from you guys my whole life. And the guy was like, yeah, we know.
You don't have to tell us.
Exactly. So it's a bad boy.
So
man.
During the pandemic, we brought some of our coworkers in, and we wanted them, hey, you know, what cover songs do you love? Do you enjoy maybe more than the original? And I remember Dan came in, and he loved the Got to Get You Into My Life, mm-hmm. Earth, Wind, and Fire. Fire's version. I didn't even know that was a Beatles song until I went to the Paul McCartney concert at Texas State. And I'm like, oh, okay. Learning some new things. But I found that one, and I think it was from Danny, that was Al Green did a version of I Want to Hold Your Hand. That is, I think I've played it before. We played it before, and that's why I didn't bring it on this segment. That may be one of the strongest ones because Al Green was a favorite of my parents. So we had a lot of Al Green playing in the house. And his version of I Want to Hold Your Hand is so insanely good. So good. But again, you have the other maybe acoustic players that you haven't heard of playing rap songs that tickle me. An emailer, Tom, emailed me and said, you want to try Dan Henning? I've never heard of him. H-E-N-I-G. And I think he goes viral a ton. Just playing his guitar, and he had the ludicrous song Move B that we listened to in the pre-show meeting. And that was the first I've ever heard of it, and it's great. And there are a few YouTube clips of him playing other rap songs acoustic guitar-wise, and I love it. I love hearing that, man.
Stevie Wonder does We Can Work It Out by the Beatles.
Yeah.
Fantastically so. I mean, just... great stuff.
I mean, the Beatles are so covered. So when you hear somebody like Stevie just make it his own.
Yes, and he did from jump. And
kind of punching the soul in. And if you have one of your favorite undercover covers that you want to send away, I am always open to finding that. And it's funny because someone just tweeted me and said, hey, that ZZ Top song came out in 2012. I was like, okay, brand new to me. Wow. I had no clue.
Maybe a weeknight screw around shows in the future.
Oh my gosh. Insane. All right. Thank you guys so much. And I will continue to go down the rabbit hole. Oh, one more. Umbrella, the Rihanna song that I love so much. Mandy Moore does a cover of Umbrella that is pretty dang good. I didn't
Baby, 'cause in the dark, who can see
You're missing Jay-Z at the beginning that kind of pumps it up, and it's very soulful with Rihanna. This is kind of soothing, not gonna lie.
Stripped it down.
Yeah. But you can only do that if you can really sing. And she has a good voice.
That's a good voice.
All right, it's Joe Trahan, the lead sports anchor, WFAA, Donovan Lewis. We're here today and tomorrow. Norm is on vacation in New Zealand. It's the world's most dangerous midday show here, 10 to noon every day on The Ticket. Let's start with the Michael Irvin press conference that happened yesterday. I don't know, Joe, what you were expecting from that. And I'm trying to go back to see what I was expecting from that whole ordeal. And I guess a little bit of me thought we would have some sort of resolution if a press conference is called like that.
Well, you know how it goes now with a lot of these allegations, Donovan. I was hoping that we would get a look at the video as a starting point. And I will say I was shocked that only the lawyer got a chance to look at that. They didn't even let Mike look at the video with the lawyer. That was interesting to me because, you know, if I was his representative, I would have said, well, I want my client there so he can help explain to me what he recalls, what he remembers.
Be one of the triggering points of, okay, oh, you had a few belts and he may have met 10 people on his walk from the lobby to the elevator to try to go up to his room. And maybe that would, you're right, jog the memory of, okay, now I remember that. And you can recall what was being said.
And you can try and, you know, explain, you know, whatever happened and why, you know, why the woman had the reaction that she did. And, you know, listen, it just, something seems off. Normally in these situations, we do find out, you know, what the person is accused of. I still haven't heard the accusation, right? And I kind of spelled out.
Yeah, and that's one of his hangups also. Like, what's happening? What are you accusing me of? Because you just all of a sudden say, well, inappropriate. Like, inappropriate what?
Right.
Like, was it because of what I said? What I did? And yeah, the video is probably not going to have any audio to it, but it's... someone reached out to me today and said, maybe it's not putting a video out there for the masses because you don't want to put her in a point to where she's going to be looked down upon, or someone may threaten her, because people are going to take up for Michael Irvin and don't know if people called and said, hey, what, you know, who is that or what's going on? And she can easily be identifiable with the internet if her face is out there.
Well, but here's the thing that I know, and this is in my realm.
Okay.
Right. The way that we can conceal that identity is not very hard to do, right? You could put the spot shadow over the face.
Right,
you could
pixelate
the face. You could pixelate, you know, most of the entire person and still try and get the essence of what that encounter was like, right? And listen, this is one of those things where there are two people who know what happened, and we are not either of those two.
Obviously, it's just one, because, you know, the other one being accused, he has no clue.
Yeah, that's a good point.
He has no clue what
point.
The
he
heck he
remember.
Said. He doesn't
that's
remember
a good point.
Anything.
That's a good point. And again, it's hard for me to wade into these waters, right? Because the judgmental factor in terms of what happened, what did not happen, it's difficult to know. I mean, there's so many variables that go into these situations. Obviously, something serious occurred, you know, to that person.
Because what could be a throwaway line for one
yeah.
could be the most shocking thing you ever heard to someone else.
Yeah.
And it's just him saying, you know, you're being, okay, kicked out of the hotel, and then the network trying to get ahead of it. Because, okay, what if something really bad happened, and then he's out doing Super Bowl coverage and all that? That could reflect badly upon a network, so they probably went above and beyond to say, well, we'll just pull them until we figure out what happened. But it just feels like that's never going to be figured out.
Well, and here's the really interesting part. Now, I kind of just formulated this as we walk through it further. What did the Marriott tell NFL Network? That was,
they had to tell them something, right?
Exactly. For them to take that swift action, that penal action. What did they tell him?
I know. And then followed right by ESPN, because he was supposed to be on that week with Stephen A on First Take. And they immediately said, no, we're good. But you would think the employer
yes.
would pick up the phone and say, okay, tell me what happened.
Yes.
What is it?
And then the other overarching issue that's involved with this case is, and you can't get around this, whether fair or not, is Michael's past. We all know it. It's well documented. This wouldn't be the first sort of encounter along these lines. And listen, fair or not, perception is what it is.
Sure.
And you know, in this case for Michael, unfortunately for him, that's going to come into play. And that's how it works.
Every case is different. Just
True.
Because he did something in the past doesn't mean he did something
Agreed.
At that particular moment.
Agreed.
But you're right. If you have three kids and one of your children is consistently getting in trouble, and you walk in, there's a broken lamp, guess what kid you're going to look at? The kid that's always in trouble. And
no
then
doubt.
When he tells you, I didn't break it.
Are you sure?
Kind of give him the side eye a bit. And that reason I know that is because I was the kid that was always in trouble. My two sisters, they always looked at me. My name was called first. I didn't do that.
This time.
I didn't. I promise you I didn't. But
sure you didn't.
The action that he's taken as far as getting in front of it, also saying, look, no. You can't just do that. I'm just not going to accept the fact that you can drag my name like that and not be able to work. Or how long is it going to last? Like, when football season starts back and they start the draft, will it be on the draft coverage?
Now, I have always said this, because there are some people in public relations, when something bad happens, crisis management terms, right? They'll just kind of not say anything, wait, and see what happens. I have always been of the mind of, look, I didn't do anything, and I'm going to make sure you damn
sure,
well
right.
know I didn't do anything.
If I'm going to get into trouble,
yes,
if then it's going to be something that I did.
If you're going to accuse me.
We'll get the enjoyment out of my trouble. Right. No.
Right. So from that standpoint, you know, interesting. But again, looking at track record, Michael has done that same sort of thing before. He's brought the countersuit before. When things like this have happened, and
then
it's
they settled, right?
Yes,
right.
And then they settled.
And I wonder if that's.
Yeah. Is that where we're headed? I don't know.
Yeah, because I wonder how it's going to, if there's no resolution and we get settled, will that satisfy the NFL network? Will that resolution of just saying, all right, well, we're going to pay whatever, just to make it go away? Are they going to now say, okay, you can come back to work, but they don't even know exactly truly what happened that they pulled him in the first place? So when will he see him on, when will we see him on there again? If ever. Like, I wonder if that's going to cause him to lose his job. And out of all the things that's happened, and if that is the cause of him losing his job, a minute and a half conversation with someone in the lobby of a hotel, that's wild, man.
It is. But I will say this. It is doubtful to me that the resolution of this case will bring much more clarity than we have now, which is really strange. Because normally, you know, okay, so-and-so is accused of this, you know, because whoever is accusing wants to make sure that people understand the gravity
right.
of whatever is involved.
But I think, I guess the lawyer in the press conference yesterday was letting you know that there was no way it was some kind of physical altercation.
Truth.
Because the, yes. of the way he explained everything. Look, they had a laugh. He touched, he brushed on the elbow, then he brushed on the elbow again, and then they shook hands, and then they left. Like, he's letting you know that it has nothing to do with any physical harassment whatsoever. So now it's the case of maybe him saying something inappropriate.
Right.
And we'll never know the truth of that because Mike doesn't remember. And she obviously had to tell someone something in order for them to kick him out of the hotel and for all this to happen. So it's been told to someone.
Marriott knows. I mean, they wouldn't have went to Mike's room and snatched him out if someone there did not know on the spot. Right. And how they went from there to that action was something that was said. Again, man, it's a wild. This case is unlike most that we have in this realm.
And it is amazing now in this day and age that in a hotel lobby with people, and I can remember being at the Super Bowl and we were leaving Friday, going to the airport. Norm and I were standing outside and there were autograph seekers, there were phones everywhere because they had some event at our hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you saw Thurman Thomas get out of a car and walk in, Jerry Jones get out of a car and walk in, and they consistently had their phones up recording pretty much everything when they saw anyone. And just to be in this day and age where everyone has a recording device, I'm shocked that someone didn't see Michael Irvin walking into a hotel, immediately pull out their phone and just started amateur filming that thing.
That's a good point.
And wonder if, you know, if you're standing right by him, the conversation is on that. It's just, that whole thing is just weird, especially with him saying, I have no clue what the heck I'm being accused of. Like, and I think even if he would have remembered saying the most inappropriate thing to her, he would want to put that out there to say, this is what I said.
Right.
This is what I did. And it may, I don't know, I would rather that be out there than the mystery of not knowing what the heck it is, and I'm still in trouble.
Well, because
I said this, and I did this, and I said this.
Because in these cases, when we don't know, it is very easy to think the worst.
You can assume,
right?
And it I'm pretty sure we've all assumed
yes.
what the heck he may have right. whispered in our Absolutely. Ear and a minute and a half conversation.
Right.
But I would definitely, even if it's inappropriate, I think I would put it out there if I remembered. Hey, I propositioned this, I said this, and I said that in that minute and a half. And that's what happened. That is the absolute truth. Make it of it what you will. And if that causes me to lose my gig, that's just how it is. But I'm putting it out there so you don't have to assume a thing. But, hey, you know what? If I had a few belts, maybe I wouldn't remember. I don't know. All right, it's 11. You ever seen Lionel Richie in a...
You know, we were talking
concert.
About that earlier in the week, man. I think you're on to something. Because my wife and I do like the American Idol and the singing shows mm-hmm. and all of them, right? I love live music. I just love live music. And when those kids get out there, you know, so it would his catalog is so prolific, man. He's got so much going on. And I do the Commodores days. Nobody remembers that, right? They all a lot of the pop stuff when he crossed over to pop was his solo stuff.
Right.
Man, go back to the Commodores, yeah. man. Great stuff.
Zoom is a song that's probably the only Commodore song that's in my rotation now. I don't know why I don't have like Brick House or whatever. You know, that was a yeah. big commercial hit. But Zoom is one of the ones that I love the most. It's about a 6 or 7 minute song. And yeah. I usually shy away from the long tunes, but that one's really good. And it shows the quality of his voice. He really belts out that tune.
And he wrote so much of that stuff and produced so much yeah. of that stuff. The talent that dude's got's off the charts.
And was that Tom Joyner almost a member of the Commodores, or was he?
Tom Joyner Morning Show?
I think I have the wrong.
Really?
I think I have the wrong crowd to answer that question. But
I was going to say you.
What are you trying to say?
I'm not trying to say a thing. I said exactly what I said.
Out and out saying.
Yeah, I'm not sugarcoating anything. I do believe that's the case. He was really. I think it was the Commodores and Tom Joyner that had a really tight relationship, so much so that he was almost a part of that band. But whatever. I may be wrong on that. That's not going to be the first time.
Another rabbit hole.
That's right. All right. So just talking about officiating and the game last night, Mavericks lose to the Pelicans. Luka gets his 15th technical. Now, he's told us in years past, even when he got to 12 and 13 and 14, I will not be suspended. He just told us flat out. It's not happening. And he got the one yesterday, and it didn't seem like much. Like, I've seen times where Luka's begging to be teed up. Hey, it happens. You get in the mood. Coaches are going to get in the mood. Sometimes they just want the tech. But now he has this reputation that whatever he does, they're going to look at him and say, I don't want to hear this today, Luka. I'm tired of you. Boom, tech. And that felt like the tech last night. I don't know if it's going to get rescinded because you just don't know exactly what he said. But he was pretty calm in his, you know, in his actions last night.
He wasn't demonstrative.
No.
It had to be one of those words because it happened so quick. And it was definitive on the official's part.
Yeah. She right? didn't waste any time.
No.
She didn't waste any time whatsoever.
She did not. And I'm like, okay, he said something. I went, you know me, looking at the Zapruder film.
Right.
I went back and rolled it back 3 or 4 times. He definitely barked something. And whatever it was, he went across
the line. And those guys talk to the officials any kind of way all the time.
True.
Draymond Green at the top of his lungs will curse like 1,000 times. It's almost like the Seattle Seahawks defense. He has the mindset. Hold all the time.
Right.
And every now and then they may call it. But if you hold all the time, they're not going to call it all the time. Draymond curses a ton. But, you know, he's right up there with the league leaders also as far as technical fouls. But he says that he is not going to get suspended. This is going to be the challenge because he's one away from getting the one game suspension.
Now, recall last year, he did get the 16th.
That's right.
But it was rescinded.
That's right.
Right?
That's
the only reason he played in that final game, and he ended up getting nicked
that's
up.
Right.
Remember?
That's right.
And didn't play at the beginning of the playoff series, right, when Jalen Brunson and the rest of the crew went off.
And
so,
you wonder, like, why did you rescind it? If you didn't rescind it, he wouldn't have gotten hurt.
Right.
Okay,
I do remember that.
That
was that.
That's right.
So while he says that, his actions and the past, unfortunately, don't back that up. And, man, when we're talking about 15, look. And we'll see how long it takes for him to get back. That MRI today will be incredibly important. But however many games, let's say it's 10 games. Luka, 10 games, no techs. Yeah, let's see.
That's a challenge. That's going to be a challenge for him. Right. So officiating in the NBA, there are a lot of times and there are a lot of well-known officials that do have the, hey, look at me, and you're not going to show me up because I'm an NBA official and you're just a player. What are you talking about? And for some reason, I must have clicked on some video on Instagram that showed a lot of bad umpire calls.
Dude, ump shows are the worst.
Every other video that's on Instagram for me is some kind of crazy umpire call, a bad call of them kicking someone out for just staring at them or whatnot. But it's really bad in baseball, and it's really bad in basketball. Football and hockey, I don't know if you have too many, hey, look at me guys, and just throwing it because I can.
And in baseball and basketball, it's like they get to know the ump or the official's name. And
right,
it becomes
right.
Okay. Especially, I guarantee you, Luka barks the name of whoever, whatever.
No question.
Yep.
Giving him grief.
So last night, Freddie Van Vliet from your Toronto Raptors, or their Toronto Raptors. It's not your Toronto Raptors. I don't think I've ever heard an athlete say this. I've heard athletes get fined, of course, and they're just saying, hey, referees are trash. Bad call, bad game, trash. But he went off.
I mean, I don't mind. I'll take a fine. I don't really care. I thought, you know, Ben Taylor was f***ing terrible tonight. I thought that on most nights, you know, a couple of the, you know, out of the three, there's one or two that just f*** the game up. You know, and it's been like that a couple games in a row. Denver was tough, obviously. You come out tonight, you're competing pretty hard. The third quarter, I get a bull attack. changed the whole dynamic of the game, changed the whole flow of the game. And, you know, most of the refs are trying hard game up. Nobody's coming to see that. They come to see the players. And, I think we're losing a little bit of the fabric of what the NBA is and was. And, it's been disappointing this season. You can look up most of my texts this year have been with Ben Taylor officiating. So at a certain point as a player, you feel it's personal. And, it's never a good place to be. That's not why we lost tonight. We got outplayed. But it definitely makes it tougher to overcome.
Okay, I'm sorry. I dumped that.
Yeah, we got clearance.
Oh, did you really? Okay.
D-word,
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I didn't know about the clearance. I didn't have the special code.
And we dumped
code.
It, too. We caught it in
I got
time.
It.
And I'm always curious if that dump button actually works.
Well, I don't know if it did or not, but I pushed it. It did work? Okay. Woo! That shocked me. I'm
me
sorry. I didn't know you got clearance.
Should
I apologize.
Have told you beforehand. I'm sorry.
Yes, I apologize. I didn't know. But, yeah, I don't think I've ever heard a player just flat out say a name like that and then go off like that. So I'm curious to see, yeah, he's going to take the fine, how much that one's going to be.
Right, and that's calling into question the integrity of the game, right?
And saying one that, official that he named that, twice.
Yes, that Ben Taylor
that's
was going after
big.
Him specifically.
I think the NBA may try to make an example out of that. I'm guessing $75,000?
I wouldn't be surprised. I will say this, though. He has now put Ben Taylor on the radar of all of his fans.
But I do wonder if that's going to put a little air in Ben Taylor's chest. You think that's going to calm him down from being the jerk that he is? Or is he going to say, oh, now Ben Taylor's kind of a name that everyone knows. And when he officiates the next game,
he'll be like Joey Crawford.
Joey Crawford, the worst of all time.
It's going to be like Billy Crystal in Forget Paris. No?
It's a weird reference, but okay.
Thank you. You remember when he kicked everyone out of that game? Thank you.
Farewell to Kareem.
Keep going. I'm sorry. Keep going. My references are out of control. Yeah, Joey Crawford was.
Wait, he was the worst. I mean, when Tim Duncan's laughing on the bench and he points him out, I mean, nobody will ever forget that because it was so egregious. Come on, man.
And I've always hated the double tech. That's the cop out. And any NBA official just to. And, even when you have the guy that's the hothead and he's on the, on the cusp of always getting 16, those double techs kind of add up and it's just almost for no reason. So if they stop play and they just stare at each other, you know, kind of closely and not say a word, and then the referee just throw a double tech out there. It's like, come on, man.
Yeah.
That's not worthy of that. And that's just kind of adding on to the fact that, they can get way more control of it besides just throwing out text. They feel like it's, you know, it's candy on Halloween. That's their ultimate. Man, we can just throw a tech because we are who we are. There are some times when you probably need to get control of the game and calm everyone down. But I think a lot of the referees, even if you go to a huddle and a timeout, you can have one referee go to one huddle, one go to the other and say, look.
Knock it off.
Chill the blank out. We're doing what we're doing, chill out, and we'll just go about this thing. And
it's not the physical game it was a couple decades ago, you know?
To where it would get really testy.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good point, Sean. Yeah, it's not the same. But I do think that there are some refs who think that they have to use that power to get control of the game, and it should not be that way. Because here's the deal. Think about if you do get... Luka is a great example. If he gets double teched in the second quarter of a game that fans had to save up to end up in the top, are you kidding me? And I can't watch Luka? I'm mad at the ref. I'm mad at the game. I'm mad at the system. I don't even know if I would be mad at Luka. Give him one. Have him go sit down in a corner and figure it out.
And I think they do that. Like that.
Most
think they're
of the
conscious
time. Most
of
the time.
Okay, especially if he gets an early tag. No matter what he says, we're going to try our best not to throw him out. But then you do just have the people, some of the referees, who start feeling themselves a bit. And maybe they're having a bad day. Look, it's a tough game to officiate. I understand. You're not going to get every call right, but that's every sport. But they're used to that. I mean, they've been doing this for a while, and they know what they signed up for. But a lot of them are just, hey, look at me. I'm in control of this game. I can do what I want. And you can see when that's happening. And it's like you said, hey, no one came to see the referees.
No, man.
Blow your whistles.
No.
But then the players are going to bitch about, you know, called too tightly or called too loosely.
Too loosely.
That's the nature of the business, right? That's how it goes.
And we've seen games that do get out of control in terms of the physicality, not like the 80s Bad Boys anymore. We don't see that kind of thing, but you can see it. And listen, there's a way to rein it in, and it should be part of being a professional for a referee. If you have to resort to a tech too much, that should be a stain, not some kind of, I'm going to puff my chest out because I got control.
And it's almost like they have no recourse whatsoever. They can do exactly what they want to do, and, oh, you know what? You may not be able to officiate in the playoffs. Okay. Right. They're not taking you off the beat of the regular season, right? You're still right there. So, anyway, Fred Van Vliet. I got $3 on his fine. I'll put $3 on it because he spoke the truth.
I'll match that.
$3? Dude, that's what I'm talking about. That's that WFAA money right there. All right, let's give it the Hang Zone. We'll do that next ticket.
Cowboy season.
I enjoyed that quite a bit.
Thank you, man.
I did too, man.
That is so soulful, man. Yeah. That is funky. Big Al Green fans, my parents. They went to go see him at the old Starplex. I don't know what it's called now. Fair Park. And he's on stage, of course, and, you know, later on in the years, he's Reverend Al, right?
The right Reverend, yeah.
So he started the concert off by playing some, you know, some gospel music that didn't fare too well with the crowd in South Dallas. And they started booing. No! And they said in the middle of one of the church songs, they're bring love and happiness. And
everybody goes nuts.
Went crazy. You gotta know your audience, baby. You understand. This is not what I came to hear. I want to hear that. All right. Thank you so much for listening to the show today. Tomorrow, we'll be back. Got to catch another flight. Okay, I'm sorry. I was singing that the whole time. Just messing with Joe. We'll be back 10 to noon, having some fun.
I get to come back?
Yes, you do. One more day, though. That's it.
That's it?
That's the limit.
Damn. Okay.
All right. People start talking after that.
Ooh.
But we'll throw it to the Hang Zone now, and that is Dan and Jake. Hello, Hang Zone.
Hello, hello. Do we have any new postcards from Norm? Is it postcards with or from?
From. Okay, postcards from Norm.
Is that
yes.
His Instagram page?
It is. I think
where
we do.
Told everybody what the Eiffel Tower was?
Yes, yes. This is the landmark. You may not have heard of this.
Hey, Dan, let me read you Norm's bio on Postcards from Norm. Norm Hitzkus, radio sports talk show host, avid world traveler, author and dog dad.
Dog dad. Doesn't say grandfather.
Sorry to Uday and Kuse.
Yeah.
You think they're just upset right now? Come on, man. You claim us all the time. I think there are 3 videos posted from Postcards from Norm since he left on his trip. 2 have the rosé laptop in front of him, and 1 he's sitting in front of a...
He's outdoors.
Yeah, he's sitting in front of a restaurant, I do believe, with a... Is that a...
Lobster?
Yeah. With a big lobster in front of him. Boy, he's chilling on that park bench, huh?
He really is.
Yeah, that is chill Norm
Some young lady sits down and it's over.
She'll see those sandals.
Yeah.
Hello. Start swooning.
Offer a nice nice thing of butter for that lobster. Want a little butter with your lobster there, sweetheart?
Where is he?
He's in New Zealand. They're staying in like 6 or 7 different hotels as they make their way around the island. So they're just driving the whole... Well, I'm sorry, excuse me. Mary's driving the whole way.
Yeah.
Is that the explore
nation you went to, Jake, with the penis museum?
No, that was Iceland.
Iceland.
Pretty far away.
They're not close to each other?
Not at all.
I'm with you, Dan.
Thank you.
Don't let them discourage you like
that. Energy Mothership at Victory Park, hard by the AAC. This is Sports Radio 96.7 and 1310, The Ticket. KTCK AM, Dallas-Fort Worth. KTCK FM, Flower Mound. A Cumulus Media Station. This is The Ticket.
The Ticket.
The home of hot sports opinions.
And by the way, that's when you need a new coach. When the coach agrees that he can't do anything about it.
Big name guest.
Joe Buck.
Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Joe. Yeah.
Thanks, Joe. Funny bits.
Do the Cowboys suck a what?
Wheels off moments and laughs. From the P1 button on your radio. Streaming online 24/7. This is Sports Radio 96.7 and 1310. The Ticket.
Let's talk Prosper Ford for a moment, where it is currently Truck Month. The all-new Prosper Ford, up the tollway, off 380. Stop by. You can also shop online at prosperford.com. It is the pride of my good friend Chaz Gilmore. He's, of course, been running Grapevine Ford for many years, but he got to pour the concrete on this one. This is his goal was to get his own dealership, and this is it's unbelievable too. And right now they've got a special allocation of F-Series trucks ready to go home with you today, fully stocked with one of the largest truck inventories in the area, including that hard to find F-150 Platinum and King Ranch. So check out Prosper Ford, just up the tollway on 380. It's awesome. Or shop online, prosperford.com.
Are you looking for the next home for your company? Locate your business in Terrell. Ray Dunlap here with Terrell Economic Development Corporation. Terrell's economy has remained strong through COVID. That's because Terrell's pro-business leadership has taken a role to protect public health and support local businesses. Join the list of successful manufacturing, distribution, and retail businesses that call Terrell home. Visit TerrellTexasEDC.com to learn more. Terrell, we're booming and there's still room for you.
Hey, Corby here. Having your home or business damaged by fire, water, or mold is stressful. But with Zeus Restoration, doesn't have to